Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, the ARC Digital Transformation Viewpoints podcast is the only podcast dedicated to all things related to digital transformation in energy, industrial, and critical infrastructure applications. The podcast is the creation of the ARC Advisory Group Digital Transformation Practice. ARC advises leading companies on technology trends and market dynamics that affect their business. To engage further, please like and share our podcast or reach out directly on Twitter at ARC_advisory. Or please go to the website at www.arcweb.com.
I want to welcome everybody today. My name is Craig Resnick with the ARC Advisory Group. I have a special guest today, Ira Schopp, who's the Director of Product Marketing of Automation for Phoenix Contact. How are you doing today, Ira?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
Awesome. It's so great of you to be here today. You know, if you have a chance, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about your company, Phoenix Contact? I know I had the privilege of attending the 100th anniversary party back in October, which I thought was great. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and the company, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, sure. So as you said, my name is Ira Schopp, and I'm the Director of Product Marketing for all the automation products in the U.S. market. And I've actually been at Phoenix Contact now for 18 years, and it's been a great run. I've worn a lot of different hats over the years, and I'm privileged to lead a team of in marketing as well as in sales and help with some development, particularly on the software side. Wear a couple of different hats in the organization, so it's been a fantastic run, and it's been a great organization to be part of. And Phoenix Contact as a company, as you mentioned, we're actually celebrating our 100-year anniversary, which is it's a fantastic milestone, of course, for any company to reach 100 years. But the thing that really stands out to me and one of the things that kept me at Phoenix Contact for so many years is the culture that it's built and the fact that the company itself is not only 100 years old, but it's a privately held 100-year-old company. Which is pretty amazing in its own right, and we're actually debt free. So we have lots of subsidiaries around the world. We have lots of buildings around the world, lots of brick and mortar. We do all of our own manufacturing, vertically integrated, all these main things, and we've done it all by being our own bank all along the way. So, I can't speak highly enough of a company, and if you get the privilege to visit the organization and visit the company, you'll find that there's many people throughout the organization have been there for 15, 18, 20, 25 years and beyond. Sometimes I'm still very much the youngster in the room. So
it was great. And we're just getting a chance to meet Frank Sternberg, who obviously came, the CEO who came in from Germany, and also to meet the founding family who continues to run the company. And one thing that kept coming up throughout all the discussions was the word sustainability. And we hear about sustainability from certainly companies of every industry all across the globe. Everybody's talking to us about their ESG goals and net zero goals and trying to tie all those initiatives, to their corporate mission statements, for example. And I know that one thing, of course, that you have at Phoenix, which is great, is because it's family owned, you don't have quite the same pressure that some of the public companies have as far as for satisfying shareholder requirements, because it's really what the family itself wants to do. However, you're certainly very close to your customers and are able to kind of, look at what their requirements are regarding sustainability. And I know a lot of times when it comes to people that want to make investments in a company, a supplier like Phoenix Contact, they want to know what, for example, are those sustainability initiatives. So if you could talk a little bit about Phoenix Contact sustainability initiatives and what are some of the specific actions that you're taking that's going to be very attractive to your customers that want to invest in companies that are really concerned about climate change.
Yeah. So of course, sustainability is a huge topic, and it's a buzzword. And if you look at a lot of the CEO reports or a lot of earnings calls, and you do some keyword searching, you'll find sustainability on most of those reports. And sure. Phoenix Contact is definitely there as well. Now, when we're looking at it from a company perspective, and I'll get into some of the conversations I've had with other companies as well in a minute, but we actually look and have termed this as the all-electric society. And what the all-electric society is it's Phoenix Contact's vision to really look at things and figure out how to help sustain renewable resources to be able to power all different elements of our lives and do it in green ways and really work towards reducing waste and better utilizing energy so we can just be a more sustainable organization ourselves, but then also help others become more sustainable in the process through our products and services and education and really just partnership with many companies around the world and customers, you know, that we have around the world as well. And when you look at us organizationally, of course, those are a lot of big words and it's a lot of big buzz topics, but we definitely like to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And some things that we've done to help showcase this is we have an all-electric society park that we're actually putting in Germany. And there's a lot that you can see there in terms of there's solar stations and there's some cutting edge technology. Of course, lots of EV chargers and just lots of examples of how sustainable practices can be put into different parts of industry. In addition to that, on our own site in Harrisburg, and Craig, I think you got the opportunity to see some of this.
Absolutely.
We have some pretty amazing things. Did you get a chance to go up and see the solar array on the roof?
We're walking on the roof, looking at the solar panels, looking at the digital dashboards that you had throughout the facility. Obviously being a very modern facility, if someone had come in there and really didn't know your company was 100 years old, they would almost think that you're a relatively new startup.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the things that's just, I think, really cool about the company. But the solar array that you saw on the roof, we have, of course, manufacturing and we have sales and marketing and we have engineering and all these different aspects right there in this Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. And we're continuing to expand. And on our roof, we put in a solar array. And on that solar array, it's 961 kilowatts is what the exact power output is of that array. It's just shy of 1 megawatt. And we had a major effort to put that in and it was installed in 2021 and it was commissioned and went live in 2022. So it's fairly new and it actually augments, it doesn't augment. It's the primary power source that we use. And then we augment that power now with capstone generators. So we actually have the ability to be completely off-grid and we don't sell back any energy. We actually utilize all the energy that we produce on site and we can basically run the entire facility 100% off of solar energy as it's on a good solid day, and on days that it's not, when then we kick on our natural gas generators to be able to augment the power there as well. And it's really great. And a couple of things here real quick, Craig, because this also ties into other companies, is in doing this, it's great that we're doing this, I think, from an overall company perspective. But what it really shows is our dedication to this topic of the all-electric society. It shows how this can be done. And it wasn't just done to check a box from a sustainability standpoint. It really does tie into the bottom line. It saves us a ton of money on our utility bills. It allows us to have better tax credits and things from the ESG initiatives. So it has helped the overall bottom line of our company to the point where we're expanding these efforts. Craig, I don't think it was going on, but did you see the charging stations going in the parking lot when you were there?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And what was great to see is, you know, many times we go into parking lots that have charging stations, but they're empty. And because you don't see the employees, you know, kind of practicing, you know, what the company's preaching. But what was great was the charging stations were full, which means that many of your employees also have that same feel and have certainly made in investments themselves in the electric vehicles, either pure play electric or plug-in hybrids that were that enable them to kind of show and to show that they also, you know, subscribe certainly to a lot of the Phoenix Contact initiatives as well with their own personal investments.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can definitely see it. They're close to the building and they're always full, which means I don't get close parking because right. I have a large family and it's hard for me to get an EV at this point, but maybe the new Tesla truck, I don't know. Who knows, but,
at least, you know, it's bulletproof.
Exactly. Cause you know, I live in central Pennsylvania and right. there are a lot of hunters, particularly this time yes. of year. Anyways, we're expanding that EV parking lot as well. We're actually adding another 10 to 12 spaces, 100% off grid, completely solar powered, battery bank, all these other things. It's really great stuff. So I'm gushing a little bit about it, but yeah, it's just exciting. It's exciting what we're doing. And I think it plays into a lot of how we can help our customers as well.
Yeah. And what was great at the anniversary was primarily mostly some of your customers. I mean, that was obviously that made up the bulk of the attendance. And, you know, interesting to listen to their questions and as we're touring the plant and obviously up on the roof and trying to dovetail between what your initiatives are and their initiatives are itself. And actually, you know, looking at your customers and thinking in terms of what can they take away from Phoenix Contact, not only your products and solutions that you offer, but also some of your initiatives. So if you could tell me a little bit more as far as what you're hearing from your customers, also your suppliers, of course, because I know from talking certainly to Frank and some of the people from the, you know, the family that owns the company, they're concerned with, of course, is dealing with an array of suppliers that obviously have those similar philosophies. So not only practicing what you preach to what you're selling, but practicing what you preach as far as what you're purchasing before you're actually manufacturing the product that goes to the customers. So I know certainly you spend a lot of time, you know, whether it be at events and shows and hearing what some of the other players are in the automation space. So how do you see Phoenix Contact not only as far as being a role model to your suppliers, to your customers, but even as far as being a major player in the industry?
Yeah, so great question. And looking at our customers and our suppliers and everybody all together, we definitely are looking closely at our suppliers to understand how we're getting things. You know, what is the carbon footprint of these components so that we can add it all up, because frankly, our customers either are or will be asking us about this kind of thing. And as we talk to our customers, we at the core are, we've been a longstanding component company. If you know Phoenix Contact, you probably know us most notably for power supplies, relays, terminals, these kinds of things. Of course, you heard I'm supporting the automation business, and it's growing. It's growing exponentially, and it's fantastic. And we've become a very sizable company in the industrial automation market and in the industrial controls market as a whole. And with that, we've had lots of conversations with all different industries, many different customers across the U.S., across the world, and many, many of them, as we already mentioned, have sustainability efforts at play. And here's the thing. As we get in and have these conversations from a sustainability standpoint, we can sell products. We can help them measure things. We can help them do different things, and that's helpful. But when we get into a room, particularly at the higher levels within the organizations, the questions need to be asked of, well, why are we actually trying to hit these sustainability goals? What is the actual objectives? And what I have found over and over again is dealing with sustainability projects that have been successful and frankly, ones that have not really been greatly successful. I'll tell you that the number one thing that makes a sustainability project successful is having a clear measure of why we're doing it. And if we're doing it only to check a box at the end of the quarter or at the end of the year or whatever it is to, you know, have a feel good moment, it's not going to work. It actually has to tie into the bottom line of the organization, it has to tie into the revenue targets of the organization, and it needs to be visible within the organization. And the reason is you really need to monitor energy usage, energy production, what are your carbon emissions, what are all these different aspects that go into it, but then equate that to profitability and cost and how you can improve things so you can have a rate of change, because you cannot change what you are not measuring. These are fundamental principles across pretty much any kind of project, but on this kind of thing, it is so paramount. And with a topic like sustainability, it not only ties into checking a box for ESG initiatives and making the company look better, but it also ties into profitability, and even maybe even more importantly in today's day, is marketability with other companies, but then also prospective hires. The newer employees and even existing, you know, longer standing employees, they really want to work for a company that has a good presence in the market and is doing good things for the environment. And being able to show that, being able to prove that, is paramount. So you mentioned, you know, being able to see the different screens. Craig, we're actually expanding and redoing the whole lobby, and we're going to have this behemoth of a station to be able to see all the different types of systems that we're using. And a lot of them are going to be running ignition screens showing, power utilization and how we're pulling things in and all the different efforts that we're doing to make it front and center, not only for our employees, but for anybody who visits the organization, because we think that's important. The things that we're doing great and the things that we're not doing so great and the things that we need to improve, but you can't change what you're not measuring, and being able to visualize it is paramount. So these are some of the things that we're seeing and some of the things that I've had conversations with other customers about.
Yeah, and it's really critical, because you're tying sustainability into a financial measure. Because in many cases, what we hear is people say, well, this is all really, it's great for the environment, and it's great for public relations and for your analyst relations teams and your investor relations teams. But what we're looking for is a way to say there has to be a financial payback. And one of the things that I kept hearing, certainly at the meeting and in talking to your staff and your management team, is we want to be able to show that there's a bottom line improvement, you know, kind of like a KPIs based on sustainability, you know, kind of like as a common KPI in manufacturing is overall equipment effectiveness. It's like having an overall energy effectiveness, and really focusing in on how these initiatives do have a payback, and you as a company able to show what you've been practicing in your own manufacturing practices, where you've had a payback as a result of a lot of these sustainability initiatives. So I think that was something that was also very effective. And I think a lot of the customers walked away with that as a takeaway that they can bring back to their plants and say, this isn't just a feel-good story. This is also a solution that's also going to have great bottom line benefits. And I think that we now want to look at it, you know, from that perspective. I mean, I kept hearing at the conference, but data collection solutions to do that. And I know that, you know, you certainly have a number of other solutions that people maybe are less familiar with as far as for data collection, data aggregation. Could you tell us a little bit about what some of those solutions are? Obviously, with you being responsible for the automation space, you know, a lot of them certainly fall under your umbrella.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, was mentioned already, you know, you can't change what you're not measuring. Mm-hmm. And to make those changes and to measure things, you need to collect data. Data is at the center of so many businesses today. Mm-hmm. The products and services the companies provide are paramount, but data-driven services and data-driven products are even more. And we have a lot of products that can fall into this. I mean, thousands and thousands of products. But when you look at the core, we have things like PLC Next. PLC Next is an open-based control system that is a standard PLC at the core, but then it offers openness capabilities. And the openness capabilities allow you to do things like IoT integration. You can do different types of database manipulation. You can do all different types of hooks into maybe systems that otherwise are disparate networks and disparate systems. It's really open in its capabilities and flexibility. And the openness is really, really important, because in the newer control systems, being a PLC alone and just controlling the clickety-clack, the machine, the bottling, the whatever else is going on is great. But being able to take that information, catalog it, maybe do some local manipulation of the data to improve the system over time is paramount. And PLC Next offers you that capability. You can use things like Python, maybe to do some data manipulation, because you can do that directly on the controller because of the openness. Maybe you can do some high-level code for using C or C++. There's also expansion modules where if you want to do machine learning, you can add a coprocessor to the product to be able to do localized machine learning or even safety control, all with the same core of being PLC Next and simply augmenting what it's doing by leveraging the openness or by these different coprocessors. And in addition to the PLC Next line, you look at some new cutting edge technologies, some things that have been done for years of remote data collection, you know, beyond the control cabinet. Okay, there's a lot of analog signal wires out there. There's some field buses out there and device net and Profinet and analog wiring and all these other things. Well, there's a new era, which is, hey, everybody knows that Ethernet has become king in terms of data communications and pretty much everything. Well, Ethernet is great, but it does have its limitations and the distance that it can go, and then and just in general the environmental impacts on it. So there are new technologies like SPE, single pair Ethernet, and APL, advanced physical layer, that allow that Ethernet type of connectivity to be more standardized and higher speed for industrial control systems. And then in different types of systems where you're going outside the cabinet, you can go very, very, very long distances with things like APL, advanced physical layer, to potentially connect sensors, transmitters, remote, disparate Coriolis meters, whatever it is, around a facility, plant, manufacturing environment, and bring them all back to a centralized control system. So there's lots of different ideas and opportunities to be able to expand what the traditional automation systems are doing today and really look at the future of manufacturing. And maybe just one more point on that is, when we tie it back to sustainability, we tie it back to the data collection piece that we've been talking about so much. Okay, PLC Next can do that data collection. It could do the data manipulation. APL and SPE are the new cutting edge technologies to make these remote connections back to a central point. And these are things that Phoenix Contact has products, is currently developing new products for. But then there's lots of energy monitoring solutions. I mean, energy monitoring is kind of that quote unquote low hanging fruit. And there are organizations out there like SESME, for example, that are really centered in manufacturing of looking at power monitoring and how we can do better as small to mid-sized manufacturers to be more efficient. And they're offering education and different processes to help this work. Well, Phoenix Contact is right there along with them with support with PLC Next technology into that SESME organization, but then also just flat out energy monitors that are designed for panel mount. And you can literally record exactly what energy a machine system or process is using, and then provide that to an industrial control system or even into an IoT system using very common protocols like Ethernet IP and Profinet and Modbus or MQTT and beyond and beyond.
Yeah, but the key was you really emphasize open and standards, because people that want to buy your solutions are going to be going into, you know, in many cases, it's a brownfield application. They're trying to put those on top of solutions that might be 5 years old, but they also might be 25 or 30 years old. And unless you're really subscribed to all the open protocols, you are now able to take what's state of the art, but still leverage some of that legacy install base. And I think that's key going forward, because there's not going to be a full scale rip and replace in these brownfield applications. The idea is, how do you take what already exists and make it better, make it more efficient, be able to make the measurements that it takes to make the business decisions that are required to run your business most efficiently, avoid unscheduled downtime, and obviously as profitably as possible, and making the companies as operationally resilient as possible. What can they withstand, you know, climate issues, you know, downtime issues, unfortunately pandemics, geopolitical issues. You're actually giving them the tools that helps them become more resilient to anything that could happen, that to kind of the only certainty is uncertainty, and be able to prepare themselves for that. But if you don't have solutions that subscribe to open standards and are leveraging the latest technology and give them the information it takes to make the best decisions, you know, you're not going to be able to help them as effectively otherwise. So it's really great that openness and standardization is obviously part of your core philosophy. So, you know, as we kind of begin to wrap this up, you know, obviously you've had a great first 100 years. Where do you see Phoenix Contact going as it begins its second century of business?
Yeah, and this is a good question, and I think the only direction we can have is being a better player in the overall manufacturing landscape and enhancing and continuing to enhance the way that we do things, the way that our customers are doing things, and being able to provide more solid solutions to make systems more efficient, more profitable, and overall better. And in the era of data, you mentioned it, and in the era of allowing people to do more with their existing infrastructure, this is where we see ourselves. And it's really part of the all-electric society. So again, it comes back to the core of not only helping ourselves be a better participant in this overall landscape of industrial, but helping other companies become more sustainable, become all electric, helping the overall industry use more green energy, become more net zero, all these other aspects, but provide the picks and shovels, the products and services and solutions to help people along this way. So that's where I see us continuing to go. And I think we have a great runway. Again, 100 years old, multi-international company, and cash rich. You know, we're our own bank, and really poised, I think, to help our customers and help the society as a whole move in this direction. And I'm really excited. For the next 100 years. I mean, I won't be here for all of it, obviously, but I'm excited to see where it goes and to get the trajectory going.
Well, we hope, Ira, you're a part for a good chunk of that 100 years as well, and look forward to working with you and being someone who's watching Phoenix Contact and watching them make that continued progress in the market, and again having that 100-year-old security and great family ownership, but acting in the same way as a startup company and maintaining that edge of being able to have leading edge solutions. So thank you very much, Ira, for being here today. That was Ira Sharp from Phoenix Contact, and I'm Craig Resnick from the ARC Advisory Group. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day. Thank you.